All right. Nice and intimate this morning. Thanks for that message, blessing. We heard the voice, but we couldn't see the face. We're standing in the dark here. But no, thanks for sharing that. That was a really powerful message. Inspiring stuff. Can I actually ask us to, I know there's some Dono Daddy on that side. Well done. Can I ask us just to move a bit closer and actually to sit, if they just sit two by two, actually. Just sit next to a friend. If a husband and wife are here, if you can possibly sit next to each other. Or just find a friend just to sit close to. I'll explain why in a moment. My wife's going to have to come and sit up here. I'm joking. It's a joke. You can just sit there. I'm a bit of an evangelist, so I like the big crowds. But I have to be honest, I've been enjoying the more intimate services the last while. We've sent four mission teams in the last 2 months. There's a team in Durban at the moment, which we want to pray for this morning. Ivan and Alzan are there at the moment, and they're serving the church there. So at the end of the service, it would be great. We're going to have some communion. But it would be great if we can just intercede for them and ask the Lord to really come and bless them in what they're doing. And so this morning, 2 weeks ago, I was sharing on what I called the watchman and the messenger. Is there anyone that was here? So I can just sort of get an idea of how much context to give. Okay, so pretty much about 50%. So I'll just catch everyone up. So basically, taking from Isaiah 52, verse 7 and 8, it speaks about the watchman and the messenger, but more than that, it's also one of those verses that we always quote, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, the messengers. But then there's a powerful part in that. In fact, it was one of our convergence conferences several years ago where we were the theme of the conference was actually this message, the watchman and the messenger, but them taking hands and seeing eye to eye and starting to work together, right? And then the scripture actually says, let me read it for you. I'm going to skip verse 7. Well, let's read verse 7 as well. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to God, your God reigns. Then verse 8, your watchmen shall lift up their voices. Now with their voices, that's the messengers now, they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Now that last phrase there, when the Lord brings back Zion, for us today it means an awakening, right? It resembles the Jewish people coming back to their God, coming back to the promised land, coming back to the promise that God has given us. So for us today, it's a reawakening. It's a revival. So that seeing of eye to eye, that taking hands to hands, hands in hands, and walking together, there's a major blessing in that. And so 2 weeks ago, we were speaking about it. We had a session where we broke up into two groups. I was sharing here with the messengers. So you had a choice. You could go to the messengers or to the watchmen. Matthew was having a session with the watchman, and I heard it was quite powerful there. We couldn't get him to stop. As you know, Matthew, you know, he's got a lot to share, a lot to give. He's in Durban, by the way. So I want to just continue on that. And in fact, we generally have an inclination to one or the other, being a watchman or being a messenger. And that's why I also encourage couples to sit together. You'll often also find that one of the husband or the wife would be the messenger and the other one would be the watchman. If in the case where both are messengers or both are watchmen, it is important to recognize and to see relationships or have relationships, purposely pursue relationships with people that are different, that are watchmen if you're a messenger or other way around. And so, but there's a dynamic, and I'm hoping that you're going to see this in the scriptures when we purposefully pursue these sort of a kingdom relationships and kingdom partnerships. In fact, I'm going to jump ahead of myself and go to point number six on the slides. We'll jump. Yeah, thanks, Claire. You're quicker than I am. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. This I was just in just working this through myself. I read this verse and really so struck me and so ministered to me. But Paul says in verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. So just that verse just ministered to me. In other words, you can look successful. You can actually be fruitful in a sense. But if it doesn't endure, in other words, if it's not God's work, maybe you're gifted in a sense. You get stuff done, and there's even a supernatural blessing on it. But there's not that completion in that, you know. And we're going to look at it. But Paul says, but some plant, some sow, some water, but it's God who gives the increase. But you see that there's this partnership, right? And when that cycle is completed, that partnership, in the analogy of the seed growing, the plant bearing fruit and so on, then there's a reward, right? And sometimes I think what I just feel the Holy Spirit is saying to us at this time is he's seeing lots of good stuff. He's seeing lots of fruit. But what he's wanting to see is a partnership where we embrace one another and where we allow God to complete the process so that what we are doing, what we are busy with, bears fruit and endures, right, unto eternity. That's where I believe God wants to take us. And so, coming back to the point of, you know, sometimes in couples and partnerships or relationships, you know, the one is maybe gifted differently than the other, and we were just talking about it, but sometimes it takes an understanding of a certain gift. So if, for instance, my wife is a watchman, which she is, you know, it would be necessary for me to come and to step into her world and to understand how she thinks, how she operates, and how the gifting works. You know, and once I'm in her, you know, sphere, once I understand again what it means to be a watchman, and maybe I've done it before. There was a season in my life where that was a specific thing that I did. But just stepping into it again just gives me a new appreciation of how that kingdom partnership works, right? So sometimes it's just a case of stepping into another person's world again to embrace the gift that God has gifted them to walk in. So I want to encourage you to step into other people's worlds. Before I continue, and I'm going to just look at the definitions of messenger and watchman. But before that, I was reminded in the worship just to let you know about a couple of things that's coming up in the church in the next while. So the 10th, the 12th of November, we're going to have a parenting talk. Sorry, the 12th of November and the 10th of September. So if the parents want to take those dates down. I know we've got some serious planners in the house. But we're going to have Lee and Yaku coming, and they're going to do evergreen parenting courses. So if you want to take down those dates, it's a great opportunity to grow in your parenting. And it's also a great opportunity to invite someone that you know that is in need. It's a big need. And then secondly, next week, if you want to skip the morning service and leave me here by myself, I won't be offended. But the evening service will have Pastor Daryl from the Vibe Church in Ireland. He's going to be speaking to us. So if you want to come and connect with the younger crowd in the evenings, feel free to do so. All right, so that's just to let you know what's coming up. So watchman and messenger. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines it as the following. Messenger, one who bears a message or does an errand, a forerunner, a herald, a dispatch bearer in government or military services, an employee who carries a message. All right, so one that gives a message, the analogy, of course, is God is our employer. God is the one that gives us a message to relay to others that are in need of this message. So remember, Isaiah says, it's good news. You know, the gospel that we've been given is good news. And it's good news in the sense that Jesus died on the cross and there's salvation. You know, that's in a general sense. But there's good news every day, right? Good news is only good news if it's fresh. So there's someone in your life that you have a good message to bring to, you know, whether it's a colleague or friend, or there's a good message you can bring to someone. And ultimately, it comes back to the fact that Jesus has died on the cross for that person, but it means something to someone today in a very specific need that they have. That's the messenger. Then secondly, watchman. The Merriam-Webster definition of a watchman is very simple, one that keeps watch. I think that's pretty basic, but the definition of keeping watch is the following. To keep vigil as a devotional exercise, to be awake during the night, to be attentive or vigilant, to keep guard, to keep someone or something under close observation, to observe as a spectator. The country watched as stocks fell sharply. Okay, and to be expectant, and to wait for something to come about, to watch for a signal. All right, so that's the two definitions, you know, obviously, of watching and messengers, just for us to sort of get a bit of context and understanding where we fit in. But now, again, that phrase, seeing eye to eye, the dictionary defines it, or expands on that phrase, meaning to have a common viewpoint, to agree, to concur, to be in agreement, to be of the same mind and opinion, to be in one accord. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what happened with the disciples in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They were of one accord. In other words, they saw eye to eye. We were in agreement. To be united, to think as one, to be on the same wavelength, right? To get on, to get along, to feel a rapport. Now, often in church, you think, you know, you see this sort of attention, you know, especially if people are strong in their giftings. You'll always, you know, the prophetic people would always have this sort of connotation that they're weird and they're spiritual and they're up there and out there, you know, and you know, the messengers would be, you know, labeled as those that are not spiritual. You know, they're not necessarily engaged with the spiritual realm and know what happens. And so you see, obviously, always that tension. But again, it's important that mutual celebration of the gifts happen for us to see eye to eye. Right, so I want to just give seven things, and it's going to be quite brief. And then we're going to take communion together. But just 7 points or steps in order to grow in this regard. Grow in seeing eye to eye in whatever relationships or kingdom partnerships that you need to walk in. So the first one, and I felt this quite important, is to identify broken relationships. So the enemy is constantly at work. He knows the power of unity. Right, he knows, you know, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, you know, in the book of Genesis, when, you know, the Tower of Babel were built, people were in unity, and the scripture says they could do anything, anything was possible. So the enemy knows the power of unity, and so much more, the power of unity in the church, in his house. And so he's constantly at work in breaking down relationships, kingdom partnerships, and mostly so, those of significance. And so obviously he's working in marriages, and he's just constantly busy breaking down. And so we need to, you know, first step is just to identify those. You know, sometimes we go too quick into trying to fix things. Just stop yourself and say, I can't fix things. Only God can fix things, right? I can't change myself. Only God can change me. I can't change someone else. Only God can change someone else. So the first thing is just identify. Listen, okay, now I see, you know, I thought this person was just being funny, you know, but now I actually realize, but there's a broken relationship. And actually, they weren't being funny. It was a setup. The enemy set us up. And now, you know, there's a distance between us. And, you know, maybe we're not offended at one another, but just a bit of a breakdown. Just identify those and bring it before God. And say, God, you know, come and mend this relationship. Psalm 147 gives God's promise in this regard. He says, the Lord is the one who builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He gathers us together. He puts us together, those that have been scattered. And he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. So that's the promise. The second point is the how. It takes us more towards the how. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" And so this is the next step. The next step is to embrace the way of the cross. Jesus says, take up your cross. You know, if you're not willing to take up your cross, you can't follow me. So the decision here is to do things God's way, to embrace relationships on Christ's standards. Remember that the Word is the standard of our lives, right? That's the standard. So we constantly through life in sanctification, we measure ourselves up against the Word, right? We square ourselves not by what the world thinks, not by the standards and the whatever you want to call it, of the world, but the standards of the Scripture. Just something that I've been thinking about. The Word is the standard of our lives. The book of Acts is the model of the kingdom lifestyle. The Gospels are the windows and the doors to the life of Christ. The Old Testament is the revelation of God's intervention in this life. And the epistles are the mysteries of God uncovered. The Word is really practical in our lives. I'm going to come back to that. But Jesus on the cross, think of it this way. Jesus lost a small battle to win a massive one. All right? He won a small battle in a little court with a couple of priests, and he gave up that battle to win a massive battle, the salvation of the world, the destruction of the works of the enemy. Now, don't get me wrong, it was a seemingly small battle, but it was a massive sacrifice to Jesus himself. Do you see the picture there? So the way of the kingdom is to sometimes lose small battles to win the big one, right? And sometimes that's what taking up our cross means. It means at my own expense. I take up my cross, I deny myself, and I do this because there's a bigger battle. Scripture says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. The big victory helped him to endure, you know, the battle that he would lose then. Well, seemingly lose. Thirdly, work at these relationships. Prioritize relationships with kingdom partnerships, kingdom relationships. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says, and we're reading a lot from 1 Corinthians 3, now him who plants and him who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Okay? Again, it speaks about a mutual celebrating of gifts, the understanding that Paul and Apollos both are doing something great. One of the lies of the enemy is to say, but listen, your gift is the only one that is important, you know, or your sort of gift. And so many times in church context, you'll find people that navigate towards one another because they've got similar gifts, because they have an understanding of, well, this is important. And yes, it is, but it's only as important as the other gift because they work along together. In fact, you know, Paul comes to these Corinthian believers, and he says to them, but you're little babes. You know, I'm wanting to come to you with solid food, but I have to come to you with milk, because you're still looking carnally. You're still thinking of, oh, Apollos is like this, and he's got this awesome gift, and you know, Paul is like this, and you know, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and there was these divisions, and he says, but that's carnality. Celebrate everything. It's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos, it's about God who brings the increase. But work at these relationships, and work again as in celebrating different people in the kingdom. The fourth one is a don't do. And this is important. Don't use people to get to God's goals. Don't use people to get to God's goals. The definition of control and manipulation is getting to righteous goals through unrighteous means. The destination never justifies the means. All right? So sometimes we have godly and righteous goals, but we don't want to go there through God's ways. Right? And in doing that, we break down. In doing that, we hurt relationships. In doing that, we control. And God never works through control. Right? God works through His Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's ways are different, right? And we need to cultivate an appreciation of that. We need to cultivate an understanding that I'm a piece of God's puzzle, right? And I fit into His puzzle, His picture, and I need to build that into my understanding of things. Sometimes I'm not going to understand the bigger picture, but God does, and He fits it together, right? There's a bigger picture, and then His ways are higher than my ways. But don't use people to get to God's goals. Allow God to bring about His ways to get you to His goals. The fifth one is make peace with purpose and calling. Sometimes in a kingdom sense, we get so stuck on my needs and my relational needs and all the needs that I have as an individual and this, you know, the stresses of life. And so sometimes our relationships become focused on my needs. So I build my kingdom relationships around what I need instead of the purposes of God. Right? And God will take care of your needs. I was sharing the previous time, you know, it's amazing when we begin to take care of God's desires, He takes care of ours. Right? And so He'll make sure that the people around you are there in your life if you receive them to speak into your life. All right? So embrace purpose and calling. Know that we're here for a purpose. Right? We're not here to just have blessed lives. In fact, real blessed lives are those in which we live the purposes of God. John 15, verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. So I chose you and appointed you for a purpose. I called you that you would go and bear fruit. And one can only bear fruit if God works it through us. You know, we constrain ourselves to produce fruit. God, through His mercy and through the Holy Spirit watering us, through the rivers of God, we produce fruit as we yield to Him. Takes us to the sixth one, and that is again to look for fruit. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 14 says, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. So there's certain things that we do that is successful. I mentioned this a bit earlier. But success and fruit is different. because fruit is lasting. Right? So discover what are the things that I do that naturally, it's my purpose and my calling and my gifting, and it bears fruit. But then recognize that, listen, there's something that I need to pass on. There's this grace that God has invested upon me, and it works in and through me, but now I need to pass it on to someone. And sometimes, and this is takes us to the last point, we want to get sentimental. This is so precious because, you know, it actually took a lot of work, and it took a lot of work of God in and through me to cultivate the character and the anointing and everything in me. So now eventually when I produce this, I know it's the grace of God, but I feel sort of a sentimental attachment to this that was produced through my life, that I sort of want to hang on to it. You know, I sort of close my hands towards the bigger kingdom partnership. But again, that picture, taking hands and seeing eye to eye. You know, there's a completion of God's work. So don't allow yourself to get sentimental around what God does in and through you. But identify people and ask the Lord, Lord, what I do with this which you have worked in me, so that I can pass the baton, so that I can give it on, so that God would get the glory, so that the fruit endures until Jesus comes. 1 Corinthians 3, again, verse 10, says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. So again, that respect of the other's work, right? Respecting, you know, what God has done through other people. I love always the example of Reinhard Bonnke. He came to Africa, and he says the work that we see, the millions that come to salvation, that's not our work. You know, we are the final step in many missionaries that have come, that have sown into the continent of Africa. Many people that lay down their lives, and then he mentioned some of the people. But he says, "But we only came and we shared in the harvest. We completed the picture, and so we're not so great. We need to recognize and honor those that have gone before us. And of course, you know, that's over generations. So that's also important. It's necessary for us to identify what God has given us through our generations to honor them, and to respect that, but also in, you know, just normal relationships, to honor what God has done through someone else and to respect that and build upon that. In fact, I was just talking last night about Daniel Kalenda, who's the successor of Reinhard Bonnke, but, you know, yeah, let me not share everything. It's going to take a while. But just sort of just hearing something that he shared a while ago, he says, that was such a moment where I just understood, you know, actually the humility in his life. But he says, he's actually a fifth generation minister. And he says, well, everything I have and all the fruit in my life, and, you know, the many millions of people that leads to salvation is because of the people that have gone before me. He actually just humbly stands there and he says, well, I'm just a recipient of the grace of those that have gone before me, and I'm just walking in it. And I just, you know, that's such appreciation for the humility to recognize, but he actually honors, and because he honors, God works in and through him. God can complete the work in and through him. So I want to encourage you. 2 weeks ago, we started with this, and I called it a kingdom experiment, because I wanted to encourage us to just to begin to take hands, to begin to see eye to eye. And so we started that roster on the wall, and we encouraged all the watchmen to put their names on the wall and to pray during specific slots. So you commit to, for instance, on a Thursday, lunchtime, 1 o'clock, to pray for that hour. But I actually want to extend the invitation to those that see themselves as messengers. Also go and write your name, on the wall. Because you're a messenger doesn't mean you don't pray. You know, messengers also pray. In fact, you know, we need to pray to know what the message is that God is giving us to people or to individuals or to groups of people, whatever the platform God creates for us. But I want to encourage everyone to find a slot, put your name and commit to just praying at some time during the week. Or in that, you know, commit to connecting with someone then in that time if you already have a message to give someone. But just allow God to work in you, just that commitment to what he has put in you, but then to partner. So the idea is that those that put their names on that slot would then pray for the messengers that are going out and engaging with relationships. But again, the watchmen are not limited to pray themselves. They, you know, they also can share when God gives them a message. In fact, I was talking to Kathleen about this, and Kathleen is actually quite good at this. She gets both the watchman and the messenger part really right. Actually, I thought, you know, I'm going to ask her to share this message, but then I thought, you know, then she's going to run the whole church, so I can't give her everything to do. But in any case, she's really good at this. You could actually learn from her. I'll get her to share a testimony sometimes, but she really always, you know, gets someone. When she has a relationship, she's always got people around her that she can ask to pray and intercede, and to ask, you know, them to cover her when she engages, and it bears so much fruit. It's amazing. But she also does the opposite. When there's people in her life that, you know, then she prays for the other encounters. It's amazing to see the partnership of that. But I mean, she just mentioned, she also just sees this gap. You know, where sometimes people go out and they do amazing work for God, but they're on their own. God, they're not allowing God to complete that cycle, and therefore we need to take hands. We need to allow God to work this in us. So I'm done sharing. Can I ask us just where you're sitting, whoever you're sitting next to, if it's your spouse, it'll be a good exercise to talk about this, to identify what is your gifting, to talk to your wife about this. If it's a friend, then just, you know, pray about, you know, these things and ask God to show you what are the steps that you need to take. What are the steps that you need to take to cultivate an appreciation of another gift, and how to make that part of your life. So if we can do that, that's the first thing. Secondly, we're going to send some elements around so we can take communion. And then thirdly, keep the Durban team in your prayers. So if you can just agree on that God would bless them this morning as they're ministering in the church and doing several other things today, and seeing the kingdom come. Hearing awesome stories of divine appointments and encounters that they're having, but let's just ask God to complete that work. All right, so just those three things, if we can just do it as we are comfortable with.